Hello, ladies and gentlemen. On today's episode of the On Cue podcast, I had the pleasure of speaking with a mother of four, an amazing wife, an artist in her own right, and just all around interesting human being. My good friend Susie Kenyon and her husband are raising their youngest son, who kicks ass, on the spectrum of autism. Autism has always interested me. I've been very intrigued to try to learn more about it. I've got several friends who are experiencing life with a family member growing up on the spectrum. And Susie was just remarkable in sharing her story, what it was like, what it's been like, what it may be like in the future. We talked about everything from when they first realized that their son was growing up on the spectrum, the public meltdowns they experienced, witnessing his growth, how he's got to a point now that they weren't sure he would ever be able to experience. Of course, you can't talk about autism anymore without talking about vaccinations, so we got Susie's view on that, and much more. She shared plenty of her story and was not embarrassed at all, which is great. That's why we're doing this show, so we hope you enjoyed as much as I did, and please help me in welcoming Susie Kenyon. Hello, everyone. As stated, I am here with a friend of mine, Susie Kenyon. Susie and I have known each other, we met after I'd been there for a few years, so probably not quite a decade, but we've known each other for a few years.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
We really didn't get to know each other too much until it was kind of the end of my tenure in Northern Vermont. I wish we'd have got to know each other a little sooner because we realized that we have some similar interests in the arts and kind of our views on a few things. Now I'm learning some in parenting. So I really wish we'd have got to know each other better sooner, you and your husband both. But anyway, thanks for making time this morning, the holiday weekend. I appreciate your time.
Yeah.
Susie is the mother of, you have four children, is that correct?
Yes.
And your youngest, and I don't want to speak too much. I will let you introduce your life and your situation a little more clearly. But the reason why I wanted to chat with you, not just because you like poetry and you kick ass and you seem to be a good mother, but more particularly so because your youngest child you're raising with autism.
Yes.
And I thought that that would be interesting. I've always been intrigued. I don't know if it's just because of the curiosities, the natural curiosities, because there's still so much that we as a people don't know about autism. There's different, I've done, you know, a little bit of research, a little bit I know, hopefully you can add plenty to this, but there's different, there's what, four or five different types of what do they call them, PDDs, is that right? Pervasive development disorders. On the spectrum?
Well, from what I've learned along our journey, that autism is a spectrum. So at that spectrum includes a bunch of different disorders that fall under the umbrella of the spectrum, which, I mean, I can't pinpoint all of them, but OCD, ODD, ADHD, autism, but there are some terms that used to be used that are no longer recognized by the medical community, such as Asperger's.
Right.
So everything is just labeled under ASD now.
Oh,
That is how they diagnose it. And when they diagnose, they label it ASD, no matter the severity of the disorder for the particular person.
Okay, so Rett syndrome, childhood disintegrative disorder, Asperger, they all just fall under one umbrella category now.
Yes.
And then there's different levels. Is it different levels? And, you know, please correct me if I'm wrong, because I want to be correct here, but there's different levels of, you know, for instance, there's more higher functioning, I guess you would call it, or a lot of Asperger's, a lot of people. Is that how you pronounce it? Asperger's?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
How do they distinguish the differences, or do they not?
They used to, but that community is trying to do away with labeling children's that way. So when you get a diagnosis, they just say your child has autism spectrum disorder. They don't necessarily say that, you know, this person is a category one or two or three.
Right.
They used to, and they just, in my case, do not do that anymore.
Oh, okay, cool.
Parents do. In the, you know, I know a lot of autism moms. I've met a lot of people online that I have been able to get ideas from and advice from. And they will, you know, say, for instance, my child is high functioning. Mm-hmm. I would say my child, Samson, who is 7, is high functioning.
Okay.
Because he has a lot of abilities that a lot of people on the spectrum do not have and might never have. That's the thing with autism. My son was 27 months old when he was diagnosed, and he wasn't speaking at the time. And he had a lot of the behaviors that go along with autism. So we didn't know at the time what his outcome was going to be when he was, say, 7 years old. So you just don't know what you are going to get.
And how old is Samson? How old is Sam now? He's about that age. Is that it? 7?
He's 7.
Yeah, cool. Okay. So I think, if you don't mind, I guess before we dive too much into it all, I guess you want to just let everybody know a little bit. You don't have to give a full life, introduction, but I guess maybe just let everybody know a little bit about you. We talked about you've got 4 children, an amazing husband that I recall, I do believe. But mm-hmm. And maybe just, so you said he was 27 months old whenever you all realized this.
Yeah. So he was 27 months old when he was diagnosed. But I was a stay-at-home mom. I do run my own business in Vermont. I'm a full-time photographer here. But the hours that I work allow me to stay home and raise my kids and be the school pickup mom and the volunteer and whatnot. So Samson was diagnosed in the summer of 2014, August. But we were living in Vermont, kind of staying home in the winter. We spent a lot of time inside. And the winter of 2014, I did know. I knew before he was diagnosed that that was the road that we were kind of going down, only because of being able to observe his behavior and do some research. So I had to wait some time to get him diagnosed, because there is a waiting list in Vermont for the testing. But I did know. But he was 27 months old when he was diagnosed.
Okay. So that's just a matter of the doctor saying, yes, you're right. You know, they do some type of test as far as, is it cognitive test or speech or just a little bit of everything? And they say, yeah, this is the best. I mean, there's no type of blood test or physical test.
No.
It's just all observation. Is that right?
Yeah, so what we did was brought Samson down to the CDC, the Childhood Development Center in Burlington, and a doctor, and myself and my husband and Samson, we went into a small room where she observed him, and she did she used some techniques trying to get him to reciprocate play. And eye contact, and she observed how he interacted with adults and how he played mm-hmm. with toys. If he played in a repetitive way, if he answered to his name, they have these techniques that show them if he meets the criteria to be diagnosed.
Okay. And how did so you said you already were aware that something. You were going down this road, down this journey. And is that how you just knew after raising your first 3 children that you just noticed something was different with Samson?
Well, yeah, actually one day we were watching TV and I saw a commercial for Autism Speaks. And it was, it showed this baby about Sam's age, and he was sitting on the floor and he had turned a truck over. and he was spinning the wheels over and over and over with his hands. And I looked at Samson, and I kind of laughed, and I said, hey, buddy, that's like what you do.
Oh, wow.
And then I kind of sat there, and I thought, wow, he does do that all the time.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was just a slow, kind of boring, cold day for us. And I remember Dr. Google dead and alive on YouTube and scaring the crap out of myself with it.
Right. Wow. You know, I have admired ever since, you know, from early on, you've been very open about it and you've shared quite a bit on social media. And I think that's good. I mean, some people are a little more private or they don't want to, or I don't know, you know, what it's like raising a child that way. I don't know if there's shame or embarrassment, but I think it's been great that you have talked about it so much because there are other people out there. I mean, according to the CDC, it says that one out of every 59 children or on the spectrum of some sort. So that's a pretty high level here in America.
Yeah, it's a really high level. And I think a lot of times people will say, oh, the rates of people being diagnosed with autism are climbing and climbing and climbing. When I think in reality, we have access to services and we have done more studies and research that shows we can pinpoint those things that maybe in the past were missed because we all know an adult around us that just, you can see that they could have benefited from someone saying, hey, maybe you do have autism. Here's how we can help. But it wasn't recognized back then. They're right. Seeing these things. There are more screenings. For instance, when you bring your baby in for their, I believe it's 18-month checkup, they'll do a test called the MCHAT where they look for autism, but it's a pediatrician asking questions, not really doing anything, but just asking questions about your child's skills.
Right. Right. Yeah. I'm along the same thought pattern with a lot of things. I mean, I'm sure there are some things, I would say things, some issues that we're dealing with that are becoming more prevalent now for tons of different reasons. At the same time, like you said, there's some things that have been going on forever that I think we just hear about more and we're just more aware of.
Yeah.
You know, there's still so much with autism that is unclear. I mean, they know that it's a mutation of a gene, but they still can't specify the heritability of it. If it's just a mutation of the gene, if it's a multi-gene interaction, if it requires both the mother and father to be a carrier of some sort or to have this mutation, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what I've read. And from my understanding, there's still a lot that they don't know how exactly it happens.
No, not, I've never read any study showing this is the moment this happens. And, you know, this comes together and boom. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. The same way that you don't know an outcome for a person right. on the spectrum when they're very young and diagnosed. It's like saying to someone, oh, I'm sorry, you have cancer. Oh, well, doctor, what's going to happen? Who knows?
You know,
they can tell you what you can do for the autism, but they can't say it's going to work.
It's interesting because, as you're saying, they don't know if it's going to be a lifelong situation or if it's just a few years. I mean, even in the, 27 months he was diagnosed. So let's just say in the 5 years, you knew a little prior to that. But in the 5 years, I remember seeing stuff that you posted that Samson was just, I mean, he couldn't speak. He was having some pretty right. severe meltdowns. There were some, and from my views, it was, I don't know if you want to say severe, but you were dealing with quite the situation, and to see how much he's grown and how far he's come along now with speech, and you send him, he goes on his own, correct? He goes to friends and he goes to school without you, where, you
he
know,
does.
5 years ago, you thought that would never be the case.
Right. I had no idea. I had no clue. He didn't really put a productive sentence together until he was around four and a half.
Wow.
When he was in preschool. We dealt with some behaviors that were really difficult. We had to keep the top of our doors locked. We had to secure windows. He would open windows. He did not have a sense of danger. He liked the thrill of, I don't know how to say this, the danger of climbing something, but didn't understand the consequence of what would happen if he climbed all the way up my front.
Oh, I see.
When he fell. So we always had to keep our eyes on him. He didn't speak, and he wasn't able to tell us why he was upset or why he was happy or if he was hungry or what he wanted to do. So we dealt with these behaviors. It's so broad. I can't even cover all of it, but getting out of the vehicle to go into a grocery store, all these things, we were constantly having to plan ahead on his taking account for his, how his behavior was going to be in situations.
How did you and you just learn to deal with it? I mean, how, that's got to be so hard. It's hard enough as a parent, as you well know, just raising a baby. But then when you have that those extra hurdles there, how did you learn to just deal with that? Or I shouldn't say deal with it. I should say more handle it.
So we were really overwhelmed at first when he was diagnosed, but he had already been, I had already put phone calls into early childhood intervention locally. So he was already receiving speech therapy because he did not talk. And that was something his pediatrician had helped me set up. But after he was diagnosed, he was able to go to ABA therapy, which is applied behavioral analysis. So they really helped me to understand how I could deal with his behavior and how we could advance the skills that we knew that he had inside.
Do you think, so from my understanding, and this might just be one of those things that they just don't know, and maybe, I don't know if you've met up there in Vermont, other families that are raising children with autism, they say it's 4 to 5 times more or more prevalent in males than females. Do you think that's just because some of the things that you note, for instance, and this is just a broad statement, but maybe the actions that that make you aware are just more prevalent in boys than little girls, the climbing, the risk-taking, being a little more rambunctious, or because they don't really know why, right? Why it's more prevalent in boys than girls.
I can't say. I think I would guess that it would be a genetic thing. Yeah. I do know some girls that are on the spectrum that are Samson's age, that show the same signs that Sam showed. So I know, I don't think it's any, it doesn't look any different.
You were talking a little bit about dealing with you know, going to the grocery store, and it made me think of a post you made, and it's weird how these things stick out in your mind, because I follow you on social media because, for one, your art is really cool and your photos and the things you say. But then I like a lot of the things you post, and you interest me. But so out of all the things I've seen, I remember one about, and I can't remember specifically. I probably should have looked it up and tried to find it to reference here on the show. But it was you were talking about when you see someone in public and their kid is having a meltdown, you don't know what they're going through, you know, don't judge them. And I, from what I got from it, was you must have been dealing with something where Samson was, do you call him Samson or Sam? What do you prefer?
I call him Samson or Sam.
Okay. Either way.
Either or.
So you must have dealt with, as my assumption, some type of a pretty bad meltdown in public. And from my memory, you allowed it to happen instead of intervening, instead of trying to correct them. You just, hey, this is happening. Just step back and let them get through it. And then and then you move on with the day. And that, my guess is, there were some other eyes on you judging you as a parent or something, because they have no idea that you're dealing with something beyond that of a normal parent raising a child.
Right. Because, and I'll start by saying this, you can look at someone with autism sometimes, and they do have facial characteristics that are different sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a child with a disability, they're I can't tell you why, but they look different. Sometimes kids with autism, almost all the time, in my experience, you can't tell that they have autism by looking at them.
Right. And it's not like Down syndrome that there's no, it's not like other disorders or diseases or anything else that there's some type of a physical mutation or anything like that.
Right. They're not a Siamese twin. My son looks like a really handsome young man. So if I go into the grocery store and he, for some reason, something triggers him to, and I'll add that this was in the past. He really doesn't do this stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. But something triggers him to have a meltdown, and I know he's going to lay down in the aisle, and I'm going to move him out of the way so that he doesn't get hurt. But yeah, I'm going to squat down and stay there on the floor with him until he's done. And it's going to be loud and embarrassing. And people will look at you. And sometimes people just look at you and they give off this vibe like, oh, you know, great parenting.
Right.
Way to let your child run everything.
Jeez.
Or, you know, maybe your child needs a smack on the butt. Or some people will look me in the eyes and they know.
Right.
They know what I'm going through because it's been in their family, or maybe they dealt with it, or a friend who has a child with autism. Some people genuinely look and feel like, I mean, hey, how can I help you? Do you need anything? Or do you want me to just, you know, do you want my advice? If you see somebody with a child melting down in a public place, either mind your business and keep walking, or ask, can I help you? Do you want me to bring your groceries to the car? Do you want a Kleenex? Are you okay? Something, instead of looking and making assumptions about a kid that looks totally fine but is not.
Instead of just being an asshole, right? I mean, I guess that's life in general, whether you're down here in the big city or up there in the small town. That's just, some people are going to be assholes, unfortunately, and they don't have the mind frame to offer that help. They just care about themselves, and they're very judgmental. And then some people, I'm sure you've encountered this at some point, where they do offer a hand.
Well, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've gotten a lot of helping hands over the years. But, you know, like they say, either in ability, you know, related to, you know, there are people with depression, bipolar disorder, all of these different things. You can look at someone and your eyes think that you're seeing somebody that's totally fine, but inside they're not fine. You never know what somebody's dealing with. And autism is like
that. And that's the thing. I mean, I guess I don't know why people are this way, but you know, they assume that you can look at someone and you just know what's going on. And there's so many different levels, like you said, depression, anxiety, all kinds of stuff that could be going on. And just a little more acceptance in general would go a long way, I think, in our communities and in public in general.
Yeah.
And I know things have changed now, but maybe if you don't mind sharing, just what was there like a regular daily routine, or was it just living in the moment and figuring out how to get through the day as you?
Oh my goodness. it was a very, very detailed, tight routine that we lived. And it was all on Samson's watch and all his choices. That's one of the things with his autism, is he's super rigid about how things are going to be. And he was a few years ago, even more so. He would get up very early in the morning. One of us would have to get up sometimes he would get up at 3 or 4 in the morning for the day. He did not nap. He quit napping about 1.5 years old. He would get up. It was super hard to take him anywhere because he was, your eyes had to be in. He was quick. You'd have to run after him all the time. His body is very agile. He's very much a boy like that. But he would get up, and I kind of, my days staying home with him then were, we had to stay in the house a lot. He was really not safe outside. We had alarms on our doors so that we would know if he got outside because he would wander. That's something that a lot of people with autism do. They elope, they call it in the autism community. They call it elopement when a person just walks away, walks down the street. A lot of, you can see just a lot of, by watching the news over the years, you'll see they'll have tragedies happen all over the world where someone with autism drowns because for some reason they are, their brain is wired toward, they want to get to water and they want to get in it and they can't swim. So a lot of times when a person with autism walks away from home and is lost, they're found
in the water. And they haven't figured out why they haven't been able to connect any of those synapses with the brain that are going on with water and why that happens. Have they? It's interesting. The other thing that I've heard quite a bit and observed through some other people that I know living with autism on one way is that there seems to be in a lot of people with autism this extreme interest in mechanics. If you anything with a machine, whether it's vehicles, trains, planes, automobiles, anything that has machines, is that, have you heard of that?
Yes, that is super true. My husband and I have always said, you know, Sam's a little engineer because he's very interested in watching. He's very visual. He learns visually, but he likes watching how things move, how parts move. Early on when he was 2, he would spend hours opening and closing doors, cupboards and windows just to watch how it looked to him. And he's kind of moving away from that now, but something I've learned about people with autism is that they will find their special interest and they will hone in on it and they will learn, like you said, trains or engines, whatever, they will hone in on it and they will learn as much as they can about it. And if they are a verbal person with autism, they will tell you everything about this subject that you've never even cared to think about. Right now, Samson is interested in earthquakes.
Oh, really? There was one last night.
I know, yeah, near LA.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. I just saw that this morning when I woke up and was reviewing the news.
So he will research on YouTube Kids. He has a iPad that he's allowed to use, and he knows how to type stuff in and look stuff up. He asks about earthquakes every day. Mom, are there earthquakes in Vermont? Wow. How old were you when there were earthquakes? Do you know what to do if there's an earthquake? Just so that he can tell me what I need to do. You need to get in the bathtub, or you need to go in a hallway and sit down. But he doesn't necessarily get worried about experiencing an earthquake, but he just likes knowing factual things that you and I don't really care
about. It's so interesting, you know, to me, just hearing that and to think maybe just the way the brain works. But to me, autism is so interesting, I guess because there's so much we don't know, and just to see the way it works in different humans, how it affects people different. I mean, maybe it's easy for me to say because I'm not experiencing it like you have. I mean, for you, you're probably thinking, to hell with you, it's interesting, it's wearing my ass out, you know, but from the outside looking in, it's just very interesting to me.
I think it's interesting too. I know some individuals on the spectrum. One of my very best friends, her son's a teenager and he's on the spectrum. He doesn't speak. He'll never live without my friend. He's big. He's tall. He's a man. And she's small. And she has to help him up the stairs and help him to bathe and right. feed him. And then you've got Sam. So who is very capable of speaking, reading, doing math, going to school, walking across the parking lot, all of these things. A very famous person in America, her name's Temple Grandin. She's actually has.
No, Temple Grandin, you said?
Temple okay. Grandin. She's a woman. She is actually, I believe, a doctor. She is a speaker in the autism community because she is an adult with autism.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, an American. So I just checked her out while you're talking about this. So a professor of animal science, yes. Colorado State University. Yes. Is this who you're talking about? Okay, cool.
Yes, yes. She has this famous quote that we all kind of go by in the autism community. If you've met one person with autism, you've met one person.
I'm sorry. Can you say that? I think the app sometimes it gets weird. Can you just say that again? I think we missed most of that.
So what she says, and which is a super recognizable quote that people in the autism community kind of adopted, is that if you have met one person with autism, you have met one person with
interesting.
Autism.
Interesting.
Because they are all different. Everybody.
Right. Instead different. Of saying if you've met one, you've met them all. You've just met that one.
Right. That's met that
so
one.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll have to read her story here. I've got her pulled up. I recently have you heard about the young. Let me try to find his name. I thought I put it in my notes. Have you heard about the young boy in England? He's 13 now. He was the youngest person to ever be accepted into Oxford University over across the pond. You heard about this? So you've heard about him?
I didn't.
Okay.
I did not.
At 6 years old, he got accepted into, and he's living with autism. But he got accepted into, his father realized, I think he said, by the time he was two, he was reading at a very high level. He spoke five languages and all this. So his father quickly realized something is different about my son. But anyway, I just read the article about it. It's just interesting. You know, there's certain things, like he got into Oxford at the age of six. He's 13 now. He's already got, I think, a couple degrees, but he still has to eat from the same plate. He still has to eat, drink from the same bowl, use the same silverware every meal. You know, he walks a certain way on his toes. It's just interesting.
That I can see all of that in my mind. I have not heard anything about that individual, but that's the thing. Somebody with autism can be so brilliant, and you can never imagine or guess how their mind works and how they're able to retain information, but yet at the same time their social skills are in the tank, or they have these hang-ups that you cannot understand and they cannot be broken, or that person isn't going to perform so well, like this kid. If I can't drink 1% milk out of this green cup,
wow,
then I can't go do that work. This is what I need to be able to do that, which makes a ton of sense to me because that's the life.
So there's a bit of obsessive compulsive disorder is just part of it on some level.
Yes, it's just part of it. I mean, if you had met Samson 3 or 4 years ago and watched how he behaved around other kids his age, you would look at him and you would say, wow, what is up with that kid? Today, you would still say, that's a little different. I wonder what's up with that kid. He can hold a conversation with people. He does productive back and forth play with people, but the social piece is still always being worked on. He goes to social skills therapy for that reason. Because he might remember your phone number that you told him 6 months ago, But if you came over and said, hey, buddy, how are you doing? Do you remember me? I'm Orlando. He might not even remember you. But if you asked him, remember, I told you what my license plate number was back on December 5th. Wow. He will tell you what it
That's
is.
So interesting.
His mind, he when we're riding in the car, he'll say, Mom, that car has HBD on their license plate, just like yours. Wow. Or do you, he could look at a road sign and say, oh, that road sign has four of the numbers in your phone number, Mom.
Wow.
His mind picks up sequences and he retains them. He remembers people's passcodes, phone numbers, birthdays. He likes to calculate how old someone was when another person was born.
Interesting.
It's beyond me. I'm just
so the kid, just for anyone that's listening and interested or yourself, his name is Joshua Beckford. B-E-C-K-F-O-R-D. Joshua Beckford is the young boy I was just speaking about. So, something that I'd like to ask you about, talking about Samson, but it must have been unique for your other children as well. Your other two that are at home now, I mean, seem to be really bright kids, artistic. But that must have been hard. That affected their childhood as well.
It did. And, you know, I thought about that a lot. For example, my son Henry, he's 16 now, but he's always been really into band at school. And so there's always been all these band concerts. He plays a lot of different instruments. So there's been always this wide array of events that he had coming up. When we were in the thick of dealing with Sam's autism, we had to take turns. So he would have one parent show up for this concert. We would take turns because Samson couldn't go because he would disrupt the whole thing. And I know that some parents would say, we'll bring them. But me, I was like, no, my son has to deal with sharing his mom so much already at home. I want him to have this time to shine without his brother yodeling in the back.
No, that's so nice.
So one of us, we would take turns, but we would miss out on a lot of things. And they would miss out, like, that block of time. We can do a lot more fun stuff and include Samson now. But a few years ago, no, we didn't go to the water park as a family. It was too hard. Or no, you know, we didn't go out to dinner all the time because it was too hard.
How is that affecting them now? I mean, they understand it, it seems. So Henry is 16, you said?
Yes, and Beverly is 13.
Okay.
They handled it like champs. They really did. They were very giving and understanding. And, you know, the therapy that we had Samson in never really stopped when we left the agency where he does that therapy. So a lot of it was implemented at home. My kids would help Samson. They would learn about the therapy too so that they could use it. Samson learned how to talk by pairing sign language with words.
Cool.
So my kids would learn sign language themselves. Especially my older son Henry, he would go on YouTube and learn a lot of different
Posted a video of him. I can't remember what song. Wasn't it like an Eminem song or something? He did the entire song.
Yes.
He signed it, right?
Yes, yeah.
That's so cool.
He went through that. He did a passion project at school and dedicated it to Samson. And it was about American Sign Language. So, I mean, he's very lenient. Beverly, they're both very lenient. I mean, it was hard for them, but they really powered
through.
That's
so cool. I mean, and I think in the long run, that, you know, those type of things, those trials and tribulations, it's also going to make them better humans and adults when they look back on it. There were some sacrifices, but at the end, it's going to make them better people, I bet.
Yeah. Henry's really interested in possibly getting a degree in special education so he can help. He knows he's lived this life now, and he wants to help other people.
So. Does Samson attend school? Does he go to public school, or okay?
He does. He goes to public school. He's in a mainstream classroom, meaning he's in a classroom with everybody else. I don't want to say normal kids, because he's in a classroom with everyone else. He does have support from a one-on-one. So he has a girl from the agency that we use that is with him from the time he gets to school until the time he gets picked up, just to guide him and bring out the best in him. And it's wonders. And she's trained in ABA as well.
Okay. Now, how does that work? Is that something that you and your family, your husband, have to come out of pocket for?
No.
Okay.
Nope. Our private health insurance has always paid for Samson's therapy.
Hey, Susie, in the beginning. Sorry, I don't know what's going on with this app. It's just starting to sound like alien talk. Can you just start over there? When I asked about the benefits, and not the benefits as much, but this aid that you have at school, how that's covered financially.
So we don't pay for that. I believe this, you know, I don't know if it's the state of Vermont that pays for her to work with Samson or for him to be on that team. Or if it's the school, I don't think the school budget.
Okay, but it's covered. It's covered under either some type of a state program or through your benefit somehow. Your insurance, or
my insurance does not pay for for the school portion. However, when Samson started therapy, our health insurance did pay. So my husband works for Comcast, and our private health insurance through Comcast paid for all of his therapy.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's interesting, because I know there's some things that they won't, unfortunately. So I guess that's a good shout out to their insurance.
Yes. Well, it's different from state to state. Some states, the healthcare providers are required to cover services for autism, and in other states, not adopted that law yet.
I think there's one big topic I think that we should talk about. And there's a few other things that I just want to bring up. I know that are important to you, that you'd like to share with everyone. If you're doing okay on time, if you don't mind, we'll take a quick break here, to let everybody know how this podcast was made possible. And then we'll come back and talk about something that I know people will be anxious to hear about, from a mother raising a child with autism. Does that work for you? Okay,
yeah.
We'll take a quick break, everyone, and we'll be right back. All right, Susie, thanks again for making time. I know it's a holiday weekend. You've got your family full of everyone's off for the summer, is my assumption. So thank you for making the time. We've had a great conversation. There's one big topic I know that we should – I don't feel like I would be doing my job and sharing your story if I didn't bring up the whole right now across the country, regardless of which side you're on, which in my opinion, it's sad that people have associated it with politics and other things, that you've got to be on one side or the other. Me personally, I am with a lot of things. I am quite in the middle when it comes to the big word of vaccinations. But a lot of people say that, let's say the anti-vaxxers, if you will, which I don't know. Anyway, that's a totally different podcast. But people who are against vaccinations, a lot of them say, when it comes to autism, that these vaccinations cause autism. And I just am interested to hear your thoughts and feelings on that, since you are dealing with it, raising a son with autism.
So I'll be real and say that I don't think that that vaccines cause autism, and I don't buy into the whole vaccine injury thing. Mm-hmm. I know it's real for some people. I know that there are stories out there that are true, if you will, that somebody had a child, they got these vaccines at 18 months old, and the child suddenly lost all these skills and then was diagnosed with autism. But they were fine before. They were talking before. They were dancing, and they were fine. And then they got this vaccine, and
right.
And that's real for some people. It's not the case for me. I'm a big supporter of children getting all of their vaccines. My kids have all of their vaccines. And in my experience, nothing changed with Samson after he got his scheduled vaccines. He was, I know that he was born with autism. He was a really finicky, fussy, funny, different baby than my other kids. He didn't sleep. He was restless. He had trouble breastfeeding, whereas my other kids really didn't. And, you know, he was just Samson, but it wasn't due, in my case, to vaccines.
Right. You know, something, my quick point of view is that I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I have no problem saying that we have not yet vaccinated my baby, but my partner and I are not anti-vaxxers, which most of our friends and family would categorize us as. It's just we right. want to be smarter vaxxers. There are some vaccines that we don't think are necessary. We were doing some research last night. We try to weekly educate ourselves. And, you know, now last year, child being raised was on schedule to have about 72 vaccinations. And 2020 will be about 75 vaccinations. And there are a lot of those that we don't agree with for a multitude of reasons. However, I am very scientific. I try to follow science. I think science is proven, and it's something that I try to kind of keep my life in line with. And I have to agree on this one. When it comes to this specific situation, I think there are a lot of things. There are a lot of vaccinations that are not necessary. There are even some vaccines out there that I would be open to exposing my child to if someone could tell me more about them. For the fact that the FDA doesn't require them to follow the same safety protocols and all kinds of other things. You know, when the doctor can't tell me the ingredients or the possible side effects, then it throws up a red flag. But when it comes to autism, I agree with you that I don't believe the science doesn't prove that it can. I'm not saying that it can't yet, but the science isn't there to show that vaccinations are directly related to autism. From what I've read and heard from other people raising children with autism is that it's a genetic mutation, and it right. typically happens, they think, in about the first trimester of pregnancy. So this is the prenatal life, if you will, but before a child is born. So I'm in line with your thoughts there. Now, as you said, other people have different views and have experienced different
things. There are going to be people who hear this that maybe feel angry that I feel this way, or that, you know, a lot of different people have the belief that I have because they're invested in believing that it did damage their child. Right. And I don't want to minimize that for anybody because it's not my life, not my child, but
again,
my life and my child.
That's right. And you know. this is why I think I wish we would have met sooner, is just because for the fact that you have your views on, let's say, vaccinations, which is a strong talking point in America right now. And I have my views, but we still have a lot of things that are in common. We still share a lot of interests and we can have a conversation and it not get out of hand, and we can still respect each other. And in my opinion, that's the way it should be. The fact that, you know, I have friends that, Nicole and I haven't made it too public. I mean, people that are close to us, we're not ashamed of it by any means, but you know, we just, if it comes up naturally, then we talk about it. But I have friends who I hang out with that'll say how much they respect me or they like me or my viewpoints. And then I'll see on Facebook, they'll post something like, you know, a meme of, you know, I got my shots today because my parents weren't morons. And I'm thinking, it's interesting how, you know, these people pass judgment. And I like the way you look at it. It's like, hey, this is how you've decided, you and your husband have decided to raise your children. And if someone else wants to do it different, that's okay too. Like, we're all entitled to our own beliefs, and we don't have to hate each other. And and pass judgment on each other for those.
No, you know, and there are those middle of the road people, and then there are people who I have had people say, you know, maybe you shouldn't have done those vaccinations. Maybe you should have read more. Maybe you should have listened more, because you and your pediatrician injured your baby.
Oh God!
You know, and those people, I just choose not to
fuck them,
not to talk to, and just,
excuse my
yeah,
language.
Basically,
yeah.
No, seriously, just not to take it in my brain. I don't let it get to me.
Right. I mean, there's nothing. So. Look. There's certain things we all know. There's certain things that you can do while you're pregnant that can possibly cause harm to your children. We know that, whether it's doing drugs or other types of things. And then there are a lot of things, most disorders and whatever you want to call it, especially a genetic mutation that is out of your control. You know, there's certain things, and they can't, as we talked about earlier, they still don't understand the heritability of autism. They still don't even know if you or your partner have any effect on the outcome of your children at all. They might, but they don't know yet now.
And to put that
burden on a parent to me makes me sick. You know, it's just the ignorance of people.
It is, because I didn't do, you know, I didn't call.
Right.
What happened? This is just what our bodies made. This is just how Samson is, you know, and other people with autism. But there's a lot of money in America that goes toward autism research. So they're always pouring millions of dollars into finding out why. Mm-hmm. And me personally, I wish they would pour that money into helping people with autism live their best lives. Right. Instead of asking why, because you're not going to change the fact, I don't know, maybe in the future scientists will figure out a way to stop it, but I don't think so. These brains think like they do because these brains are these brains. They learn differently. I accept that. Yeah. And I wish the money that's being poured into research was being poured into helping people with autism find employment or find housing or get, you know, for kids with autism to get iPads so they can learn. Some of them are visual learners. So to pay for sports programs, to pay for therapy that insurance doesn't cover, instead of paying to find out why.
Yeah, that's interesting because, you know, as we talk about, we just talk about the ignorance of other people, and that's a lot of it is just of learning to accept people that are different from us. And at the end of the day, whether someone is a different race, color, creed, or they're dealing with different things in their life, at the end of the day, that's what it is. They're just different from us. And learning to accept people, I think, not only would it help them, but it would help us as a human race.
Yeah.
What are some other things that you think, you know, people should consider when thinking about autism? What are some other things you would like to see beyond, like you said, the money and efforts they pour into research, which I personally think are important, but I agree with you that they shouldn't put all of the money and those particular buckets to maybe spread it out a little. Is it through other, you mentioned some better health care? Is there anything else that you think would help people, or if maybe someone that's in your shoes 5-6 years ago, where they're starting to notice something different about their child or a child they know, some things they could do that might help?
I would say if I had someone around in the beginning at when Sam was diagnosed, if I had had somebody around me at the time to give me advice to say, listen, you don't have to play worst case scenario right now. Don't get on the computer and start reading about how bad things could be. Grieve, go through that. You kind of, when you get an autism diagnosis, you kind of mourn the image of the child that you had or hoped for. You kind of go into this place where you're like, oh, well, now everything's going to be different, or maybe they'll never leave my house, or maybe they'll never talk to me or never have friends. My advice for people who have a newly diagnosed child or feel like they see this coming down the pipe is to not go there. Don't Google. Don't worry. Don't let it consume you, but use that energy to, for one, get all of the early intervention you can. And then remember that your child is still the same child and that you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
How do you go ahead. How do you, so talking about the early intervention and accepting that, and because that's got to be the hardest. It's got to be really hard. And then once you've got past that point, just, you know, it's common for I think humans in general, but parents to start comparing themselves and comparing their children to other children, and how are they progressing?
They do.
And
mm-hmm.
And
they
how
do.
Is that and different? If it is,
it's different. It's different because it really hurts. It really hurts because when you have a 2-year-old and your friend has a 2-year-old, and your friend's 2-year-old comes over and says, "Hey, I'm thirsty." In the beginning, that just, it stabbed me in the heart every time, because I would look over at my child and go, "Why, you know, why can't you just say, hey, I'm thirsty.
Right.
I'll have a drink too." You know, and you get this resentment toward people around you. I remember being out in the community and seeing moms with their 2-year-old, and I had my 2-year-old, and they were snapping at their kid. Their kid was, you know, asking them for things in the grocery store, and they moms were just kind of being dirtbags and being like, "Hey, you know, Jaden, be quiet. Stop asking me for things." And I would always just feel like, I wish my kid was acting like a brat like that.
Right. You'd be so happy just to have to be experiencing that.
And I would be mad at them and think, you know, you're taking your child for granted and treating them like crap right now. And I would give anything for my snot-nosed 2-year-old to say, "Hey, Mom, can I have a Snickers?"
That's so powerful. That's so powerful for many different, you know, how we just take things for granted. I think that's something that Nicole and I have tried to focus on. I mean, we've been blessed to this point that our kid is growing up healthy and seems smart. But we talk about it a lot, how lucky we are, because just like anyone else, I've got to imagine when you find out that she's pregnant, you know, you have that thought, I don't care who you are, in the back of your mind, like, you know, is everything going to be okay? Are they going to be quote unquote healthy, if you will? And, you know, we try to not take that for granted, because I think so many people do, you know, that.
Yeah, they do.
You know, hey, my kid can walk. Oh my gosh. Everyone's, oh, are they crawling yet? Are they walking? Well, they didn't start walking till late. Who the hell cares? Because there's so many children out there that can't even walk.
True.
Or speech, as you dealt with, you know, and all these things. For we've talked about a lot of the hurdles there are and a lot of the things you and your family have had to deal with. I know at the same time there, I see pictures of Sam with friends, and I see you and some of your friends and how you've dealt with it. What are some of the positive things and how people have helped? I mean, what have people done to help you and Sam? Was it, you know, just a little kid, whether they knew better or not, just say, "Hey, Sam, you want to come and play with us?" Or, "Hey, how are you doing, Sam?" You know, versus, and I get it, little kids, they're innocent. They don't know any better. They probably, especially at this age, are recognizing that sometimes Sam is just a little different than them.
They do. He goes to St. Albans Town School. And they, this year, this past school year, he was in first grade. They did a presentation for the first grade community to educate them on autism.
Oh, cool.
Without Sam there,
right.
Because I didn't want Sam to feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were talking about him, but his school's great. They foster a lot of inclusion there. So he has a lot of friends at school. Sam's a really cool kid, you know, so he naturally makes friends pretty easily, even though he's socially awkward. I do have a close friend that has a child Sam's age that is super patient. Her name's Ava. She's 8, and she just takes Sam at face value. They're best friends.
That's so cool.
She helps him overcome fears. Like, for example, they made a date to go get haircuts together. And in the past, getting a haircut with clippers was always a no-go for Samson because he was afraid. But she gives him the courage to do those things, to get through those things. So when they went and got their hair cut together, he had the clippers, and the clippers were fine.
That's so cool.
So I don't know. I guess people have been very kind with Samson.
You know,
people like him.
One of the last things that I'd like to ask, and I'm in no hurry here, but definitely I'm interested to know, does he understand yet? Like, does he know that he's dealing with autism, or how does
no.
that? Okay, he doesn't.
He does not even know that word.
Okay.
I don't think he thinks he's any different from anyone.
Right.
Honestly.
Right. Which is, there's nothing wrong with it. It's good. I mean,
right.
I was just curious to know how that.
Right. I think that comes down to the way that we parent and talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
I know that maybe there's some other parents out there who maybe don't understand autism like I do, who might, you know, not be a very good parent and have a situation with their child and say, oh, hey, look, there's your autism showing.
Right.
Or,
right.
You know, but that's just not how I am. And I just don't see a reason right now to say, it's kind of, I don't know, like if a kid was adopted, you make a choice. Oh, I'm going to wait till they're 12. And then I'm going to say, hey, listen, you know, I adopted you from wherever, for whatever reason, from this person. It's the same. Like, I know I'm going to get to some point with Samson where I'm going to say, you know, hey, listen, when you feel frustrated, this is why. It's because you are on this spectrum. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm ever going to get to that point where I tell that.
Right.
And to him, or
and he may just find out, he may just learn on his own, or you may never need to. I think that's the part about it is just, you have to be so open to just evolving with life in general. And this is just another part of your life.
Yeah. He's just kind of guiding me along with it, with him.
It's so cool. It's so interesting. I really look forward to continuing all of your kids. I mean, it's been cool to see your other, you know, your oldest is in college now. And that's so crazy because whenever I first moved there, she was probably just about the age of Sam or something like that. And
I know.
And anyway, it's been cool to follow you and your family. I know you wanted us. I want to make sure that people know if they have any interest in learning more about autism or any questions, that a place they can go is the Organization for Autism Research, which is at researchautism.org. If I've got that correct, I'm looking here. That is the organization that you referenced. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Cool. Something else, I think, if you're open to it, and if not, you know, I will put it down in the bio of the show. But anyone that just wants to follow you and see, just kind of, you know, maybe they're interested in you, where can you be found? If it is Instagram, Facebook, do you care to share that information, or would you rather not?
Sure. My Instagram handle is kind of funny, but people can find me on Instagram. My handle is Susie Frickin' Homemaker.
That.
No space.
No, Susie Frickin' Homemaker at Instagram.
Yes.
And then that's where I follow you. I think we're friends on Facebook as well. But you post things about just your family and Samson in particular from time to time. So
yeah,
if anyone is interested in just following you, that's where they should go. I will definitely put it in the bottom of the show. Is there anything else in particular you think that we should cover that we didn't? I think there's a good show. You know, I'm just starting this podcast. You're my second guest. I should say our second guest. Nicole and I are doing this. We recorded last night together, Nicole and I, and we'll be releasing that one next week. I'm going to work on this and try to get this out this weekend. Please share it for those of you listening. If you enjoyed the show with Susie, because that's what it's all about. Susie, that's what I'm doing is I really just want to create a platform for to help everyone out and to spread community and help the community. I think your story is very interesting. I appreciate you making time, and please share it with everyone. If there's anything else that you would like to add to the listeners?
No, I think that we covered pretty much everything.
Fantastic. Well, listen, thank you so much. I will be interested in maybe having a follow-up conversation and sometime in the future. And sure. I think we could do this again if you don't mind. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much, everyone, okay. for listening. And we hope to have you back. Remember, you can follow us on about 8 different platforms now. The big ones, Google, iTunes, Stitcher, Pocket Cast. And of course, right here on the Anchor app. It's all free. Thank you so much, everyone. Stay safe and be peace.